This started about a year and a half ago now, when I was planning to write a piece of music for a triple anniversary that Temple Sinai had, and the anniversary celebration was just about a year ago, was last Shavuot. You know, this Shavuot is next week, this coming week. Well, this was a year ago. So about six, eight months before that, I was thinking, gee, I want to write a piece of music for the celebration. And I was sitting around with Rabbi Glazer, who's the rabbi of Temple Sinai. Many of you know him. We were sitting around at a kiddush after a somebody's bar bat mitzvah, I don't remember whose. And I was saying, gee, what's your favorite text? You know, I want to do this thing. And one of the anniversaries was the 25th anniversary of Rabbi Glazer being at Temple Sinai. So I thought I should ask him, you know, did he have a text? And he's the one who mentioned this particular text. He said, well, you know, we just did Vayera within a week or two of when we were talking. And the opening passage in Vayera talks about that, at least in terms of the Midrashic understanding of it, it talks about Abraham who's sitting in the open doors of his tent in the heat of the day. And that's a pretty remarkable thing to do. Because, especially because, as you may know, if you remember the portion, he's recovering. You remember what he's recovering from? Circumcision. He's recovering from being circumcised just within the past, 3 days, I think. So he's in some pain, but he's sitting there with the sides of his tent open in the heat of the day because he wants to see if anybody's coming, as Rabbi Shana mentioned, so that he can run out and offer hospitality. Running out in those conditions, you know, medically speaking, would be kind of painful. And that just emphasizes it even more, how hospitable he was. So I thought that's a great text to use. So I looked at the text, and specifically when you're going to approach a Torah text musically, it certainly makes sense to start from the trap. So I started from the trap. Actually, let me look at it again because I reproduced it for you. And if you sing the trap, Ma pa pashta katon tipcha etnachta tevir mecha tipcha sof pasuk. Right? That's at least the style of trup that I learned, slightly different from how we do it at Temple Sinai. And I married into that style, but nevertheless, that's the one that I learned. which is significant because when Judy does it, she's going to sing that verse to start this piece. And I had to impose upon her my trup instead of hers. It's a little bit different, but mine ends on the tonic and hers doesn't, and so I wanted to do it that way. So that tune, I decided, thank you for that, yes, and so many other things too. That tune, I decided, was a tune. So you'll see the way we're going to do this. Judy's going to start by chanting the trup, and that, you know, for her to do that made sense, especially in the context of Temple Sinai. She is one of two people, Mark Leopold being the other, who trained the kids for Bar and Bat Mitzvah. So in the context of that celebration, she was going to start this by just singing the verse in trup. And then the next thing that happens right after that is she and David will start singing a duet where what Judy is singing is that same tune, only all of a sudden it's turned rhythmic. So instead of sounding like somebody chanting Torah, all of a sudden it sounds rhythmic. And David is singing a very simple counter melody to that, and it's reminiscent somewhat of a medieval conductus, if you're familiar with that. So that happens. And then a quartet comes in, two more singers come in, and it turns into a four-part polyphonic piece. It's still somewhat, the texture is still more Renaissance-y than Baroque-y, and the reason that I mention that is the next thing that's going to happen after the choir comes in is there's going to be a little Baroque-y section. But the choir, after the four voices come in, the whole choir is going to come in and restate that same section. And now you've got the whole choir singing, and they're singing in Hebrew, and they're singing a four-part melody, but it's based clearly on the trup. You'll hear it, if you really listen closely, you can hear it weaving, the trup melody, weaving in and out among the various parts. So if you just sit back and listen, you'll hear, remember the trup melody, it's in there. It's not all in one part, but it's all in there. So that happens. Then there is this four-part, there'll be four individual singers singing a rather Baroque-y kind of tune to sort of bring it forward in time. And then after that, it's going to turn into a very different kind of piece. Because up till this point, it fits nicely in the context of traditional Jewish music. Traditional in a synagogue, even. because it's just vocal. There won't be any instruments yet. It's all in Hebrew. It's based on the trumpet. Well, the next thing that's going to happen is suddenly we're going to break out of that mold. Instruments are going to come in and state the theme in the strings and with a piano accompaniment. You'll hear Chad first playing the theme, that same trup theme, only it's going to sound like a melody that fits very nicely on a violin. So then the strings will be playing around with that melody. There's a little section that you'll hear in Chad's part that it changes to Haftarah trup. So those of you who are familiar with Haftarah trup, listen for it. All of a sudden it won't be in Torah trup, it'll be just a little section where it's going, Pashtama pach zakev katon mercha tibcha munach et nacha. You'll hear that in Chad's part. And then after that, the choir's going to come in, but now they're switching into English. So there's, in other words, for our purposes, they're switching into the vernacular. So what's happening here, we're developing liberal Judaism. That's what this piece is about. We're developing liberal Judaism. Suddenly we're saying, you know, you can do this in the vernacular as well. Still based, by the way, in the Torah trump. You'll hear the trump melody is still there. Then, after they get done with that, then you will hear a little adagio section that will introduce Mark, the bass, who will come in, singing in English the midrashic connection. He'll break away from the text entirely and state the midrashic connection, the idea that this represents hospitality. You'll hear it in the text. And then everything breaks loose because the choir says, well, good, then we're going to start in on a whole new theme, and that's where Bess will be taking over as the soloist. And it'll be kind of a call and response section with sort of a gospel-y flavor to it. And that'll happen in stating this idea of the midrashic connection, meaning come inside. And then, as that's happening, the altos will get an idea. And the idea the altos will get is they'll decide to go back and start singing the trup melody against the other section. Now, actually, the instruments will have done that first. So you'll hear the instruments doing it. Then the altos will pick up the idea. So they'll start singing Hebrew on a trump-based melody while everybody else is doing this wild come-inside business. And that's the moment where, I think I said in the notes, that's where this has become the most, the clearest expression of what liberal Judaism is these days. Because you've got the Hebrew going on. It's very much grounded in tradition. The Hebrew's going on being sung in a melody based in the trump. You've got the vernacular happening in Midrash. You've got instruments going on, giving it a much more modern flavor. Certainly these are harmonies that wouldn't have been traditional Jewish harmonies. And it's all coming together to make a whole that I think more or less hangs together.